Anyone can build up their body strength by muscle growth through exercising the various parts of their bodies. You can hire a trainer to help yourself, in that manner if you wish. You can find materials. You can go online. You can watch videos and follow people, gurus, spiritual, physical people like that, that they can recommend to you different kinds of steps to take to develop different areas of your body. Say, for instance, like a skinny man can build up his body into a very strong muscular frame if he follows directions. He can train his body, working out his body, it becomes stronger, and he'll look better, and he'll look bigger and even better. And I've seen people like this. In fact, there was a lady here that she actually went to start building herself up. She was a little larger frame as a woman. And she decided she's going to do something about it. And so she trained. I watched her. I was going to the gym, and I've seen her. I've knew her as a Christian. And she trained her body, went to the gym, hired somebody, and worked hard, and did the right nutrients and so on, and became a very good champion in that area. So it's possible. It's not just one thing. It's a number of things you apply. You know, you can work hard but never sleep and it'll still hurt you. So you need sleep as well, right? So if this young man, say a skinny man, he continues to work hard and works out regularly, he can develop into a world-class athlete. He mustn't be discouraged by the hard work he continues to do and his dedication. If he didn't see immediate results, he shouldn't feel discouraged. Because things takes time. You know, you didn't go to university and get your diploma or your paper right away. Some of us took 4, 5, 6 years to get our paperwork. My cousin used to say, high school was the best 6 years of my life. So by putting the necessary principles of exercise, proper nutrition and good rest and little encouragement, that person will eventually have great success in that area of building up his strength and building up his body. We can do the same with our inner self, our inner body, our spiritual being, by practicing and following the steps we've itemized for you. Let me ask you, let me say something here from our scriptural text that God communicates to you through your spirit. God will talk to you from the inside out. And we'll kind of explain this a little bit further. According to our text and other scriptures that we find in the Bible, God doesn't communicate with you through your mind alone. Your spirit has to pass that over to your mind. He communicates through your spirit, your heart. He speaks to us on the inside, in our hearts, by his word, and through the confirmation of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Notice again Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Let's go ahead and read here the King James Version. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, the Bible says here. This means that God will enlighten you through your spirit. God will use your spirit to give light to you, revelation. Light means revelation. Gives revelation and information to you. This is God's way of guiding you and leading you in life. And this is why meditation of God's word is so important. Get it in your spirit. Get that word in you. That's why nutrition, eating the right food, is important to you, because your body will use that information. Your body will use that nutrition to bring you strength. Notice that three of the four steps that we mentioned and itemized to you, indicated in developing the spirit of man, have to do with the Word of God. Everything we do has to do with the Word of God. You'll find that most deeply developed spiritual Christian people, or spiritual people alone, are those who meditate. And they meditate daily on the Word of God. The primary way of developing our and training our spirit is done through meditation of God's word. God instructed Joshua, a leader, a man of God, a prophet of God, to meditate on the Word of God daily so that he would be successful in leading his people through the various aspects and places that he would lead them through turbulent times. There was tough times ahead. There was struggles ahead. There was giants. There was walls. There was cities. There was other nations that they had to conquer. And God showed him exactly what to do. And he had to know exactly what to do and how to instruct his people. Notice in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. God told Joshua he'd have good success on if he'd meditate on the word of God. At the end of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God said, you shall be able to deal wisely in the details of life. God said he would deal wisely in the affairs of life. And we want to deal wisely with all our affairs in life. But if we don't meditate on the word of God, we won't know how to handle situations if we don't have the wisdom of God in us. Are you still here? Is this okay? You guys are still too quiet for me. I need somebody to at least twinkle their eyes or something. Like that. Okay. I just want to know if you're following. It's on. So if you want to deal wisely, do that. Let's take another illustration. Is that okay?
Sure.
So there was a pastor one time. I was listening to Brother Hagin over the years, many years, and I spent listening to Brother Hagin since 1980. 1980, some of you were not born yet, but I was listening to him, and I followed him as a mentor. So I decided that about 1980, I'm going to follow this guy because he speaks wisely. So I decided he's going to be my mentor. And I listened to him. I followed him. Then in 1998, God spoke to me while I was in prayer, and he said, I want you to go to that man's school, and I want you to get what he's giving, and I wanted to put that same kind of spirit in you. So I went there, and I followed. And I heard him speak many, many times. I felt when he was preaching, he was talking to me personally, because I talked to God in the morning. I said, Lord, here's some questions I have. Then I go to school, and he'd point out, and I'm sitting in the audience, and I feel like he's doing it for me personally. And often I would say, what Brother Hagin told me. I mean, there's 2,000 other students sitting in the same auditorium, but he said he's talking to me. I took it personally. And sometimes when I'm speaking, you better take it personally that God's talking to you. So there was a pastor who copied other pastors to have success in his ministry as a pastor, and he failed miserably time after time after he just followed mainly what the man said. He put into operation what he heard the other man say or the other pastor and saw others, and he did that in their ministry. And, what he saw people do or said, he followed that direction. And I observed that in the same way. You know, I've been a pastor here for a number of years. Some of you knew that. And I watched pastors come and go in this city and declare many things. They'll start a ministry, end up maybe 5 years, and then they're gone. And I watched, observed it. I listened to them. Hear the words. It doesn't matter what you say. It's a matter of what you do. And if you really believe what you do, you'll follow. If you say, I believe in this diet, and you don't diet and you don't do this, then it's not going to happen, right? You got to follow what you say. So he put into operation, this man did, and he what he saw others did. And he flew to different conferences and meetings and what he heard in those meetings and what he heard the pastor said afterwards. And he started to implement those programs in his church and ministry. But he didn't go very far and didn't go very well because it didn't work out and he became very despondent. Later he followed those four steps that he heard Brother Hagin say in his meetings and what Brother Hagin taught. And he later became a great success in his practice as a minister. So we want to encourage you to take time to shut yourself away daily Some of you should do it for a week. Shut yourself away daily. Take some time by yourself. Jesus said, when you go to your prayer closet, get there and by yourself alone with God. Get yourself daily away from everybody, all the noise, and meditate. Think about the Word of God. Pray. Pray the Word of God over your life, over your children, over your ministry. Pray to use the Word of God and pray over that. That's a part of meditation. Start with at least 15 hours a day. No, that's wrong here. 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day. That's not much, is it? And then start from there. You notice it'll give you strength. It'll give you confidence. It'll give you an advantage over your enemy. And this is where your growth and strength will occur. Your strength occurs in your prayer time. As you meditate, success begins in your prayer time. When you go and pray, that's where you'll find success. That's where you hear God talk about different things. And if you're not right with Him and with other people, He'll tell you. You cannot be off. You cannot have a spiritual, unhealthy spiritual life, you know, if you have a good prayer life. Because God will speak to you. So take time, as Joshua said, to meditate on the Word of God, to have success in life, and to have a strong heart, to have a strong spirit, to train your spirit. To train your spirit, you need to meditate the Word every day. Let's look at the second step to building your spirit. Practice the Word. James 1:22 says to be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer. Practicing the Word is being a doer of the Word. Many just get excited about hearing the Word and singing about the Word and never really practicing the Word. You could sing here songs about scriptures we sang and then go out and do different. James 1:22, King James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. Many times people just hear and not do what they heard. They deceive themselves by not being a doer of what they heard from God's word. This causes confusion in their hearts. Deceiving their own selves. They hear God's word, but they don't put it into operation. They don't practice it. They wonder why it's not going on, why it's not working. Maybe they might try it for a little bit. And if it doesn't instantly happen, they give up right away. Well, you don't go to the gym one day and lift up the barbells and say, how come I don't have 20-inch arms? You have to go back several times. You can't just go run around and say, I'm going to do a marathon and run around the office here and say, I wonder why I'm getting puffed out. You know, many church people just talk about only the word and not practice the word. There's a great difference in just hearing and doing the word. You know these people? You'll see these people because they complain all day long about anything you want to talk about in life that's happening. So, being a complainer is not being a doer of the word. Come on. Let me just say that one more time. Being a complainer is not a doer, being a doer of the word of God. Let's say that together. Say, being a complainer is not being a doer of the word. Because if you complain, you're contradicting yourself. And that's why they can't build and train their spirit. They're deceived themselves because they don't believe in the word themselves, so they get deceived. You know these people because they complain. So you hear them talk about fear and doubt and failures and defeats to everyone they meet. If you go for a coffee with them, they'll start talking this way. You better watch out your lunch hour. You can't talk doubt all day long and say that you're a doer of the word of God. Come on now. You can't talk about how you doubt everything. Why you're not being healed. Why that money is not coming in. Why you didn't get a job. Why God's not answering your prayer. And say that you're a doer. So many people are not doers of the word, so they speak contrary to what God said in His word. Are you listening to this? Because, you know, we want to get this straight right away before we leave here. The Bible says we walk by our feelings, doesn't it? Walk by situations, doesn't it? That's what it says, doesn't it? We walk by good circumstances. Well, let's see, I don't know. 2 Corinthians 5:7, King James Version says, for we walk by faith. And the word faith is synonymous with the word of God. You can say it this way, we walk by the word of God. And the word sight is also synonymous with your five senses. What you hear, what you see. You know, we don't walk by what we feel. So people say, I don't feel like doing this. No, you go through the word. Don't confuse your spirit. Walk by the word of God. And tell yourself, train yourself. Train your body to do that. You say, you train yourself to go to, you know, you say, oh, I feel like I'm hungry. My stomach is growling. That indicates I'm hungry. I need 5 pounds of meat. So, you know, that's a little bit of, exaggeration a little bit. But so we follow our bodies. When we get just a little bit tired, oh, I got to go home. But I tell you, when I was an addict, I'd go for days without sleeping. Huh? I would go for you know, just want to party up a long, long time, and yet now as a Christian, oh, an hour too long for church. And some of you, you've gone to big bingos for 4 hours at a time. You go to gambling places, hockey all day long, watch the marathon of hockey 5 hours at a time. And you say you're tired, you know. But no, you keep doing it because you like doing certain things. So you have to train your body to love the word of God. Make yourself obey the word. You say, well, I'm stingy, I don't want to give. No, the Bible says we walk by faith. So James 1:22 says they delude themselves not by practicing the word of God. So you confuse yourself when you don't practice the word. If you don't practice the word, then you say, I don't see any results. Yeah, because you're not doing it. So it doesn't mean doing the Ten Commandments. It means more than the Ten Commandments. It's talking about practicing all what the epistles are saying, the letters to the church, practicing what the Word of God says. That's where your wisdom comes from. Amen. Notice Philippians 4:6, for example. Let's take that for example. Let's practice this properly tonight or this day. Wherever you are, if you're in China, wherever, Australia, you practice this at your time. Philippians 4:6. I want to read this in the Amplified Classical Division. I know we have a lot of classic Christians out here this morning. So, by the way, it's Remembrance Day, Monday. And my uncle died in a war. Praise God. Well, anyway, we'll come and talk about that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not fret. Let me see your hand. How many fretters we got out there? Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not. What part do you not understand about do not? Do not have any anxiety about anything. You're going to have to give up anxiety today because you've been confusing yourself for too long. But in every circumstance, doesn't God know what I'm going through? Yeah. In every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So it says, don't worry and give all your cares to God through prayer. It says, don't fret and be anxious and pray. Practice being anxiety-free by giving all your cares to God and not to be worried. Do this, and with all the other letters the Bible mentions here, put them into operation. Some worry and fret in their lives, even after they made their prayers. They give their prayers to God supposedly, and then they worry, and they tell everybody what's going on in their lives. You know, make sure you let everybody know. No, put on a smile and act like it's so. Act like God and heard you, and he's not deaf, and he's not a forgetter. He listens to you. He'll never forget what you told him. He's not a man. He's not a human being. So they get no results, and they continue to pray the same prayer over and over. And every person they meet that thinks they have the answer, oh, you pray with me. And next guy, you pray with me. And they do it over and over and over. They're confusing themselves. Did God hurt you the first time or not? What did he do? The same issue. God is not a man. He's not going to lie. He told you to give him your cares. He'll take care of them. God wouldn't tell you to do something you couldn't do. You say, well, I can't give up worry. Then God's lied about it. I can't give up anxieties. I can't. Well, then God lied about it. If God lied about that, then he lied about your healing or your money. So we have to believe this or not believe it. So people want verse 7 to work in their life. That means having the peace. They have anxiety, but they want peace, but they won't give up their anxiety. They want to continue to talk about it. They're not being a doer of the word. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot, whatever sort it is. That peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ. Verse 8 says, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, is honorable and seemingly whatever is just and pure and lovely, what is winsome and gracious, if there are any virtue of excellence, anything worthy of praise, think on these and weigh on and take account of these things and fix your mind on them. So this is what we got to do. We got to make ourselves to think positively. No one's going to do it for you. There's no rescuer. Don't you understand that? Nobody's going to come rescue you. You got to do something with your mind. That's why, you know, Romans says, you know, renew your mind. Change your mind on this. Look out your window at night as a practice and look out there. No one's coming to your house to pick you up. There's no rescuer. It's you and God, and sometimes it's just you and God and nobody else. I was taught that by my mentor, that, you know, just one day you're going to find out it's just you and God. Amen. No one's coming to rescue you. You know, thank God we get encouragement. People love us and they encourage us. We love that. But sometimes no one's going to come there. People want verse 6, but they won't practice 7 and 8. Training our spirits comes by practicing. We'll read the rest of the verses by doing what it says. Say, for instance, let's take 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13, the classical edition of Amplified. It says, love bears up on anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Amen. You know, we look at somebody, we don't trust them, we don't believe in them. Well, we want other people to believe in us. Hello? We want people to believe. I want people to believe in me. But I better believe that God's working in them too. Amen. God is working in them. And so we better be sure that when we cast our doubt and judge people, and we need to say, you know, if we pray and believe that God's leading them, then let's pray and believe that God's leading those people. It says love believes the best of every person. So fix your thoughts on these things. It says Philippians 4:8. Be your doer of the word. Joshua 1:8 says meditate on it day and night. That means always do the meditating. Let's go to number 3, the third step in making our spirit strong. Giving the word first place in our lives. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 28 and 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life. The word of God is life. Amen. To those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Amen. Number 1, When we put the Word of God first, it's life. It'll give you what you need in this life. It brings health to you. It says, attend to my words, in that verse. Attend to my word. That means put God's word before anything else. Any other reason comes your way, you put the word of God first. Say, for instance, Sunday morning, you keep that a Sabbath. You keep that as a holy thing, separated for you and God. It's a practice you do. Say, okay, Sunday morning, so Saturday, I'm going to guard myself. I'm going to be there Sunday morning. So I'm not going to overwork myself so that I'm going to make sure I'm getting there tomorrow, because obviously God put me here for you. I'm not pastoring myself. I don't need a pastor myself. I'm not anointed for myself. I read the word just like you do. So I'm here for a reason. And I'm sorry if you don't like it, but that's the way it is. No, you don't get to pick your own pastor all the time. You know, I remember when I went to Tulsa. You know, to tell you the truth, I didn't really like Pastor Kenneth. I went to the Bible school. I loved Brother Hagin. But I was immediately trying to figure out, okay, how can I go to join another church? And the Lord chastised me, said to me, I send you there. You sit under the pastor. And you know what? I begin to love this man today. I love him. I watch him on a regular basis. I make sure I follow what he said. He said, come home. So we go home. So Rhema is our home church. My wife and I, we call it, that's our home church. So I listen to them every week, watch them online, and follow their instructions, and go visit every July and every summer, and every fall and winter in February. I've been doing it for how many years? 20 plus years. Well, I graduated, in 2000, twice a year, sometimes three times a year. Think about that. You're arithmetic people. Verse 23, the Bible says, put the word first. Ask yourself, it's what I'm doing attending to God's word first. It's what I'm putting into operation. Is that God's word by doing what I'm doing? So if you want a strong spirit, if you want to train your spirit, you got to do these things. You know, I'm sitting there yesterday wondering if I should go to the gym or not. I hate leg day. They tell me if a man, can be strong upwards, but he doesn't have a strong legs when he's older, he's finished. Well, I don't want to be finished. But I didn't want to go to the gym yesterday. I told my wife, I was hoping she would say, nah, stay home. So I went after she went out with her cousin. She had an appointment last evening, and I went out to the gym. And I know this, but how come I don't always understand it? I don't always know it. I know that when I go and when I'm there, I'm okay. Amen. How many of you had those experiences? Yeah? Once you're there, you're doing it. Oh, this is great. Why didn't I ever think of this before? Right? So I pushed myself to get the results. Amen. So it's strange that people don't put God's word first, using God's word in their health, in their thought life, in their relationships, in their finances, in their business, in their leadership, in their service to God. Put the word of God first in every one of those areas and you'll have a strong heart. God says if you put his word first, you'll be successful in every area of your life. And I've found that I've been successful. The Lord said to me in 1985, he said to me that you're successful. Well, I wasn't successful. Not the way I look at my life, I wasn't. All my relationships. My school was, I was okay in school. My hockey life. I had all kinds of stuff going on, and I just didn't feel like I wasn't successful. I looked at my life, I looked at my car, looked at what I was doing, and I didn't feel successful at all. The Lord said to me, read Psalm chapter 1. I read Psalm chapter 1. When I got to the third verse, he says, I'll be successful. if I would just put the word first. Can you put that up there? Psalm chapter 1. I want to read you this. This is not in my notes. This is free. I'm not going to charge anything for it. Are you still here? So I'm going to take a little walk here. I'm putting this on so that I look slimmer when I put this on like this. Okay. Now, Psalm chapter 1. Can I put it in the classical version, the King James version? Let's put that on. Because this is the way I read it when I first got it. So it says, "Blessed is a man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." What's the law of the Lord? The word of God. In his law does he meditate day and night. That's talking about the same thing that God told Joshua, the same thing he told David. And so verse 3, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper."
Amen.
The word it says in the other version, it says, "Whatever you do will be successful." Well, I didn't feel successful back there. I was a single man and having a hard time. I was still struggling with my addiction lifestyle, because the results of my consequences of my addiction life was still catching up to me. It takes a while to get away from something. Somebody says, you know, you can take the Israelites out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of their hearts. Didn't come that easy. And by the way, like with quitting smoking, that didn't come so easy too. I didn't get a miracle to quit smoking. I struggle every day to stop. I struggle every day to stop using substances. It took me a long time to drive by the hotels where I used to hang out, and my car would automatically want to go in there. And so I had to turn away and not go into that area. So to drive another way, my pastor said, if you have a desire to use and you drive by the place, if it's calling you in and is, you know, enticing you, no, drive by, and there's another way to get home. Anyway, I thought I'd add that. So let's go back to our notes, because we'll never get this done. I'm going to read the new Proverbs 4:23. I'm reading the Good News Bible, so it just kind of gives it more of a zip. "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." So you can see how meditation of God's word is really helpful to our lives. And ask yourself, is this attending to God's word? Am I attending to the word of God? So, you know, let's look at here. There's a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12 to 13. It says that King Asa died because he didn't put God's word first. He put medicine and the doctors first. Now, it's not saying that it was medicines. It was nothing to do with the medicines or the doctor. So we have faith in the doctor. If you're sick, go to the doctor. They'll save your life. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. So you understand that I'm not teaching that. I'm just saying here what this guy's priority. Okay, so in the 39th year of the reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. You ever hear about putting your foot in your mouth? Well, yet even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help. He did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to the physicians. Now, I was taught faith and medicine will work wonders. Faith in medicine. No one here teaches that only God alone and God's word alone. No, if he didn't have medicine, a lot of us wouldn't be here today. So he died in the 41st year of his reign. He died 2 years later of a sickness. He put medical and physicians first. It wasn't just that he put the doctors first. He didn't consider what God wanted him to do. If you read the previous verses for his life, a butterfly medicine, you know, is on doctors and that is on God's side. It's like he provided for us. You see, if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 17, King Asa put first the trust in the kings of Aram instead of relying on God's help. Verse 7 says, at that time, Hananiah the seer came to King Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in King Aram instead of the Lord your God, you missed your chance to destroy the army of King Aram. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians, the Libyans, and their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? And at that time, you relied on the Lord, and he handed them over to you. The eyes of the Lord searched the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. It's putting God's word in your heart and committing yourself to the word of God. What fool you have been. He's saying you're a fool if you don't do this. Putting the word in, getting to the word and trusting him. From now on, you'll be at war. Asa became angry with Hananiah for saying that, and he threw him into the prison, put him in stocks. At the time, Asa also began to oppress some of his people. So sometimes people, family and friends, will try to rush you into decisions. Don't do it. Take time to meditate on the word of God and follow that. Amen. When we have trained ourselves sufficiently in these four steps, we will never be lost in making decisions in life. And so we come to the fourth step, the fourth and final step. So we see in the four steps in developing and training our human spirits, first of all, we have to meditate the word. Secondly, we have to practice the word. Thirdly, we have to put the word of God first place in all the details of our life. And then fourthly, instantly obey the Spirit of God, the word of God. Let's go to the fourth one, and we'll shut her down for the day. Instantly obey your spirit. And here's where we have a lot of trouble, because we're so busy with our minds. We're so busy with how we feel. How are you feeling? You know, we say, how, I know you've been sick, so how are you feeling? The one, shut up. Don't ask me that. I don't want to talk about that. Anyways, sorry about that, guys. I'll behave myself. So your spirit, your human spirit has a voice. Say, my spirit has a voice. So, you know, like your body has a voice. Your body has a voice. It tells you, talks to you. I'm hungry. I'm tired. I'm cold. You know, it talks to you. Your spirit will talk to you too. Like, don't do that. You shouldn't be doing that. That's not God's word. And then you feel guilty or you feel condemned. That's your spirit talking to you. Not God, your spirit, your own spirit. So we call that voice conscience. The voice of your spirit is called conscience. You know, doctors say that, you know, that there's something in a man or a human being, a man, a woman too, that it's called the will. They say, oh, that person doesn't have the will to live. So they know there's something in a human person that has something to do with the will. So anyway, your spirit has a voice. It's called conscience. Sometimes we call it intuition. You know, we say, oh, that person is very intuitive. You know, it's also called the inner voice or guidance on the inside. The world calls this a hunch. We don't like to use that word hunch. A hunch is your spirit talking to you. Everyone has a voice. Whether you're born again or saved or not, you have a voice. Every person in the whole world has a voice, has a conscience, unless you're sick of something. Every born again believer can trust the voice of his spirit. Because, why? Because he's a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things, behold, all things become new. Amen. You can trust the new. Everyone has an inward nature, and everyone has an outward nature. You can see someone's inward nature. You can see their outward nature, but you can't see the inward nature. You can't. That's why you can't judge people, because you don't know the intents of someone's heart. Only God knows that. At new birth, the old nature of Adam was taken out, and a new nature of Christ was given and put into your spirit, which is connected to God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that we have an inward man and an outward man. That's the way the King James expresses it. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause when we faint not, though our outward man, that's our body, you know, and that, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man perisheth. In other words, the outward man is dying day by day. It's getting old. It's decaying. But our inward man is being renewed day by day. Your inward man will never die. It's got the life of God in it. It's continuing to live every day. We have an inward nature, or our spirits, and our outward nature, which is our bodies. As a born-again believer in Christ, that inward nature is a new man, as the King James expresses it, in Christ, and it can be relied on. You can rely on that new man or that new nature on the inside to lead you in the only affairs of life. When you're making the decision, check your spirit. He's going to say, don't buy that coat. In little things. The Apostle Peter, in his epistle, wrote to the people who were born again believers. He uses the term the hidden man, or the hidden man of the heart. The spirit man cannot be seen with the eye on the inside because he's a spiritual being. He's not seen with the physical eye. You have never seen my spirit. By the way, my spirit is lovely. Beautiful spirit. Huh? What if we could just close our eyes and see everybody sitting in the spirit? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? You can't touch your spirit. Okay, so when I said one time, this happened to me a number of times. Sometimes my spirit speaks louder, and I can sense my spirit. There's a story in the Bible where Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth when she was pregnant with Jesus, and her cousin was pregnant also, but she was advanced. And so she knocks at the door, and she's greeted her cousin, Elizabeth, I'm here, hello. And she said when she did that, the baby leaped in her body. It leaped inside of her. I've had those experiences in me that my spirit, for the first time, I sensed my spirit talking to me. I felt my spirit. I don't know whatever term to use, but I sensed my spirit speaking to me. I've had that on a number of occasions where my spirit jumped up. Woo! I could just sense it. I knew, woo, what is that? It felt good. And the Lord was leading me. And I remember someone speaking by the word of God and said some things to me. And all of a sudden, the spirit went, whoo, very strong. And it's that witness on the inside of you. It's not always like that. I would like it every time. A pizza, whoo. You know? But it doesn't always happen that way. So he says here, 1 Peter 3:4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. The heart on the inside is called the hidden man, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God great price. As you meditate on the word of God and you give yourself the advantage of making decisions in life, this is how you get information for things that matter in life. As you meditate the word, you'll know exactly what to do at the exact time. You must take time to meditate the word of God and obey your spirit when it talks to you. God said through Ezekiel and Jeremiah that he would give us new hearts, new spirits. As we meditate, our spirits will get stronger. Our spirit will become a safe guide. God will communicate us through our spirit. Paul said, his conscience, he speaks of his conscience many times. When you read the epistles, Paul talks about, he said, I obey my conscience, and my conscience is free. He always obeyed his spirit. So this is not just for ministers, it's for everybody. Many will follow a fleece like a sign. Lord, give me a sign. Move that rock over there. Make that tree, whistle at nighttime. And here's what Gideon did under the old covenant. And we don't have an old covenant. We have a new covenant.
Amen.
And we follow God, not by fleeces. Paul didn't say, as many as are led by fleeces, they are sons of God. As many as are led by the prophets. No, we're not led by prophets.
Amen.
Don't go out looking for prophets. You're led by God. You have the spirit of the prophecy inside you. It's called Jesus.
Amen.
He's the greatest prophet, and he's inside you. He'll witness to you and tell you things. Let's go over here as we close out these scriptures. Judges chapter 6, verse 36 and 40, New Living. Then Gideon said to God, imagine yourself talking to God like this. This is how you've done it. If you're really true to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, well, God already promised, why would he change his mind? Prove it to me this way. I will put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight, and if the fleece is wet and dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you're going to help me rescue Israel as you promised. I thought God already promised him. He don't need no, extra. And that's just what happened, it says here. When Gideon got up early in the morning, next morning he squeezed the fleece and wrung it out, a whole bowl of, a bowl full of the water. Then Gideon said to God, please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. Let me use the fleece one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry and the ground around it wet with dew. So that night, God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew. God did use this sense realm to help Gideon because he was in a new creation. He wasn't born again. He didn't have Jesus in his heart. He didn't have the Holy Spirit in his heart. Not like us today. God uses our heart as over in a new covenant that says that God will lead you with your heart and your conscience, your spirit. He'll use your heart under the new covenant. Your heart is a safe guide because Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father lives inside you. He'll witness with you. Your spirit will say, yeah. And then on top of that, the Holy Spirit says, yes, you're in the right track. Proverbs 20:27 says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So God uses your spirit to lead you and guide you in all the matters of life. Many have lost money, made bad decisions, cost them much because they followed fleeces or signs that God was leading them, and they lost it all. Business, money, positions, reputation. They borrowed money and made bad deals and lost everything. They got all confused and they thought God was leading them all along. But God wasn't. They were depending on outward situations. Many Christians make the wrong mistakes even now. It costs way too much to follow these kind of ways. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, my last scripture this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say, trust in the Lord. With all your heart. Okay, so why does it say trust in the Lord with all your heart? Because sometimes people don't always trust God with all their heart. They trust with some of their senses. A little bit of their heart, a little bit of the senses. A little bit of heart, a little bit of signs to encourage them that they're doing the right thing. They look for, if I have a good feeling about this, then I know God's following, that God's leading me. If I have a good feeling, if I feel this and I feel that, then God's leading me. What if you're looking at something with your eyes and you're feeling bad because it doesn't look like God's leading you? You don't go by that. You go by the word. That God said what he said, and he's going to do what he said. Okay, so you have to understand this. I'll say this, that this doesn't happen overnight. Being led and following these four steps doesn't happen tomorrow morning. Hey, no, it's going to take some time to practice and put this into operation on a daily basis. You'll find it gets better and better and better. And every time, I prayed and I asked the Lord, say, for instance, all my life I went by outward appearance. And every time I've tried to find a girlfriend, I always look at the wonderful, beautiful lady. It's wonderful. It's nice. I mean, you better be attracted to your wife. Some of you. So, So I mean all of you. You should be attracted to, you know, your mate, and you should stay attracted. Don't, you know, our pastors say if the, you know, barn needs painting, paint the barn. If the barn needs fixing, you fix the barn.
Amen.
Right? So it works both ways, man. So we look at our wives, you know. Yeah, honey, you're getting a little bit big, aren't you? But anyway, we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart.
Amen.
And lean not into our own understanding. We have to understand this. It's true. You know, sometimes we put a little bit of trust in God and a little bit of this and that, and then we get mixed up back and forth. Let me just read the scripture again. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Notice this. The second part, it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. In other words, don't look to your head for all the answers. People are going to their head first before they're trusting God in their heart. Check your heart first. You know, you could have a conflict with your spirit in your heart. That's why in Galatians 5 it says the spirit and the flesh is fighting each other. Your flesh saying do this and your heart saying do that. So it's not the Holy Spirit and you fighting. It's your spirit, the brand new spirit, and your outward body is fighting to make a decision. If you read the whole thing properly, you'll see that in there. Lean not on your understanding. So you can't always trust what you think about it. Don't say, this is what I think. No, just say, is my thinking in line with the word? Right? In verse 6 says, in all your ways. Not just one way, all your ways. All your ways. Acknowledge God. Say, acknowledge God. God, come into this area too. And he will direct your path. So in summarization here, your spirit can be trained. Your spirit can be developed. Just like your body and your mind can be developed. You can strengthen your spirit. Just like your body can be strengthened, you can strengthen your mind like you do. But this is something that cannot be done overnight. Like you've done other things. You don't grow up quickly overnight. If you